Thank you for listening to the Missio Dei Uptown podcast. We are a church committed to our neighborhood, seeking to love and serve our beautifully unique community as we join God as He makes all things new. To learn more about us, visit mduptown.com.
Thank you, Marcus. Had to get Marcus up here this week because next week he will be preaching his first sermon at Missio Dei Uptown. So I did say first, maybe only, we'll see how it goes. I'll let you know. Yeah. For those of you who are visiting or are new with us, this is a fun week to enter because 45 weeks ago and 43 sermons ago, we started our current sermon series that we will finish today. Yes, many of us, or many people in the world, called this year 2025. We called it the year of the Sermon on the Mount. And in that sermon, 45 weeks ago, I began with an idea. You see, as you're probably aware, the Sermon on the Mount is the most discussed passage of Scripture in history. And part of that is obviously because of the importance to the work of Jesus' ministry, but the main importance, or the main reason, is because of its absolutely wild demands of the listener or reader in what Jesus is saying. Dr. Jonathan T. Pennington, who's a theologian, explains it this way when he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount. He says, part of the reason there are so many interpretations or evasions of the sermon is that the sermon itself creates serious problems for the readers. There is the simple problem of its incredibly high demands and the apparent impossibility of doing what it says fully and consistently. You see, Dr. Pennington called some of these interpretations of the Sermon on the Mount that we even see in popular Christian circles as, he calls them evasions, because people throughout history have made all sorts of excuses for why they shouldn't take Jesus at his word. Consider it. Love our enemies. Turn the other cheek. Give so abundantly that your future might be at stake. Maybe Jesus meant something less severe here, is what they say. But I asked you a simple question 45 weeks ago. What if we took Jesus at his word? What if we took the Sermon on the Mount this morning seriously? And so this morning, I am here to ask you that same question. What if what we have heard in these 45 weeks, what if we took that seriously? What if we believed Jesus at his word that this is what the good life looks like? You see, when I asked you this question 45 weeks ago, I did not know what was to come, especially here in Chicago. I didn't know that people would be threatened with detainment because of their skin color. I didn't know that things like SNAP and other things that have been helping people would be cut off. I didn't know that we would be where we are today. But I had a great sense, for whatever reason, I think the reason is probably the Holy Spirit, but I had this great sense that we should work through the Sermon on the Mount as a community. I am so thankful we did. That 45 weeks ago, we considered, what does it look like to embody the ethics of Jesus? Because when we embody the ethics of Jesus, we aren't just trying to be the good church, right? We aren't just trying to be that community that stands out from others. We are trying to point to the direct character of our God. And that is what the Sermon on the Mount does. When people take Jesus at his word, when they embody it, it is not so we get praise. And so it is so we point people to the one who wears all of these things first, who embodies enemy love, who on the cross turned the other cheek, who gave so abundantly that he did not have a future. See, when I asked you this question many months ago, I began with the example that is Jesus, but I began with other examples of people who took the Sermon on the Mount seriously. And I use the words of Dr. King in reference to the Sermon Mount to say that they had been costly interrupted in their lives in choosing to take the Sermon on the Mount seriously. That they heard of the word, they heard the words of Jesus, considered the high demands, and counted the costs. And so we talked about Martin Luther King Jr., Corrie ten Boom, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And we know these, but I'm just going to remind you, King, counting the cost of turning the other cheek and forgiveness, but not standing down when injustice is pervasive, utilized nonviolent direct action to confront empire when it was okay with Jim Crow law and all the dehumanization that came with it. Corrie ten Boom was willing to disrupt her entire life by hiding away Jewish people from the German government during World War II, causing her to be taken to a concentration camp with her sister and her dad, where they would both die. Then we told the story where she had to count the cost of forgiveness to a guard that she had met in the camp later when they ran into each other in life. Or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said that the Sermon on the Mount had the power to blow Nazism to smithereens. And it was the Sermon on the Mount that caused him to move back to Germany and confront the Nazi regime and be martyred for that confrontation. And I know our situation is different than theirs was. But we live in a time where it is time to count the cost, where we no longer can hide behind the comfort that has been the American life. We live in a time where the Imago Dei is being defamed, where the powers that be are taking advantage of people, where enemy love and forgiveness and turning the other cheek while still confronting injustice is harder than it has been in most of our lifetimes. And yet we each have a choice. See, Jesus, in his conclusion in the Sermon on the Mount, tells us there are two paths. Every passage we read today, I know it's funny because we started the Sermon on the Mount and I'm like, we're going to do a sermon on the word blessed. And we did a whole sermon on that single word, right? And now I'm like, all right, let's do basically all of chapter 7 in one sermon, even though we've been working through the sermon for 10 months. But the way the sermon is set up is it does broaden as we go, right? And so all of these examples we have seen, I do encourage you, we're not going to walk through them this morning, but I do encourage you to walk through them yourselves. But each of them tells us that there are two choices. There are two paths. And very often, I think, especially in the American context where like those outside of the church are our enemies, you will hear sermons about like either you're part of the church or you're not. But you consider Jesus' words in context, he was not talking about people inside the faith versus outside. He was talking to a subsect of people that were both would have considered themselves inside the faith, right? He was talking to those on the margins, those who were sick, those who were poor, those who had nothing. And he was talking to the religious elites who had been known for their holiness, who had been known for their choices. But in all the Sermon on the Mount, we have seen that their righteousness that they were known by was a lesser righteousness because it was an outward facing, outside of the cup is clean, inside of the cup is dirty type of righteousness. And so when Jesus is calling us to two paths, he's not speaking to those inside of the church and outside of the church. He's speaking to the people inside the community. And he is telling us, we have a choice. We confront, we can act as if we're doing everything right, we can care more about our personal piety than about our relationship with others, or we can take the lesser road. We can embody the kingdom of God and its ethics. And so that's the invitation this morning, is to consider everything we have heard in these 45 weeks, everything we have heard in these 10 months, and say, Jesus, in the power of your spirit, we can't do it in our own power, in the power of your spirit, I want to take you at your word and consider what it looks like to creatively look at injustice and say, I'm not going to be okay with it, but I'm also not going to respond in the way other people respond. To see those who speak poorly of us and say, I am not going to speak poorly back. I need to work on that one. Savannah played a flag football tournament with me yesterday. I'm so sore. We had a ref who literally mocked me. And I like started to yell back and I'm like, okay, enemy love. That man is my enemy. Enemy love. So we have the opportunity to consider Jesus' words in the context, but in the context that we exist in right now as well. And so as I was considering, what does it look like to wrap up a 10-month sermon series? I couldn't help but look at Jesus' invitations in the Sermon on the Mount. Consider the context that we exist in right now, and then think about the words of Mordecai to Esther as she faced a similar decision to count the cost and stand up for her people. I think if you don't know the context, worth looking into, but these words still hit. So let me read them. Mordecai told Esther, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." So if you are a follower of Jesus, whether you know it or not, you have been invited into a royal position. A royal position as a daughter or son of God. And the reality is that the kingdom is at hand. And so we have an opportunity to, in the Sermon on the Mount, take seriously the words of Jesus. Again, knowing that embodying the ethics of God, we point to the character of God himself. I think whether or not that people have been directly impacted, we have felt in our city that we are surrounded by people in desperate need of hope. A people in desperate need of knowing that though death reigns today, it no longer has sting and it no longer has victory, and there will be a day where it will no longer exist in its entirety. We are surrounded by a people in desperate need of knowing that God and his people, the church, care about injustice and stand up to the injustice that is perpetuated today. And I know of no better way of embodying the ethics of Jesus, of pointing to him as our merciful and caring act of God, or caring God, than to embody the Sermon on the Mount, to take seriously the words of Jesus. See, God will bring justice. God will bring every king, every prince, every president, every ruler to their knee one day. His kingdom is here and now. So you can remain silent. Relief and deliverance will come. But haven't you come to your royal position for such a time as this? With that, I'm going to invite up Christopher White. He's going to be reading us the Sermon on the Mount in its entirety. I was like, you know what? I'll just preach for a couple minutes and let Jesus do the talking this morning. After that, I'm going to come up and then I'm going to invite us into a time of response that is a little bit more, a little stronger of a time of response than what we normally do. If you are here for the first time, I'm not going to ask you to speak on mic or anything. Don't worry. Chris is going to read these words and then I'll invite us. So, Mr. Christopher White.
Jimmy, thank you for sitting down. Normally we stand up for scripture, but at the very beginning of this, it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down." So we can sit down. So this is Matthew 5, chapters 5, 6, and 7. "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it is said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. For you have heard it said, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. And when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take this speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. He's a much better reader than I am. It was just really fun for me, as Chris read those words, to just think back on these 45 weeks and to consider how we've worked through each of these passages, some things that have stood out to me in my learning as I've studied this passage, to prepare preaching to you all. And so I am just so thankful for this season, for the ways in which God has led us to this passage. And so we're going to enter into a time of response. And so a couple of things, In a few minutes, the band will be coming up. We will also have communion open. Communion is a great way to practice remembrance of our Lord and what he has done for us. We have an open table, so anyone who is hungry for more of Jesus is invited to take the bread, dip it in the juice, and take for yourself. But we're also going to invite, I'm going to invite you all into a time of reflection and prayer response. And so this is my invitation to you. Some of you are better visual learners than you are listening learners. And so if you need to open your Bible app or grab a Bible off the table back there and just reflip through Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5-7, I invite you to do that. But if you, if something like really stood out to you during Chris's reading, during my preaching this morning, I invite you just to dwell on that. See what the Lord is maybe inviting you into. Consider, is this standing out because it's something I need to grow in? Is this standing out because this is something I want to help our whole community grow in? Whatever it may be, my invitation to you is to dwell on that. And then we're going to have a couple of people positioned throughout the room. And so we have Fred and Kathy, and Tim is somewhere. Sure, I'll find him at some point. Oh, he's back there as well. So we have people positioned here. If you would just like to ask for some healing prayer, some prayer of like, hey, I am like really struggling to love my enemies. I am really struggling to believe that choosing to give, choosing to believe that God is better than money, choosing to do whatever it is, can you pray for me in that? They would be more than happy to do so. If they're busy and you want to grab someone else, or if you just want to pray with a neighbor, I also invite you into that. And so wherever the Lord is leading to you in your response this morning, I encourage you to do that. We have the time, we have the space in order to do that. And so I'm going to go ahead and invite our band up. Ed is going to play some instrumental music for us for just a couple of minutes for us to be able to just sit and respond to the Lord as we feel called to do.
Thank you for listening to the Missio Dei Uptown podcast. We are a church committed to our neighborhood, seeking to love and serve our beautifully unique community as we join God as he makes all things new. To learn more about us, visit mduptown.com.